It is a blessing to be here this morning. If nothing else, I've been reminded that we serve a wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. God is so good to us to provide a salvation so free and so forgiving, to give us exactly what we don't deserve. God is good to us. You know, this morning we're going to continue our Christmas series, and I enjoy the Christmas series because, you know, as a pastor, I try to focus on Christ anyway, but this is just, it gives me reason to focus on nothing but Jesus Christ. And I think when we focus on Christ, all of our other problems seem to be taken care of as well, because He is the answer to our problems. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is the verse where we're going to find our theme this year. Last week we talked about the first name we find associated with Jesus Christ, and that is wonderful. In this passage, Isaiah 9, I'm going to read it real quick, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You know, in Isaiah, we find five names associated with Jesus Christ. And this is an Old Testament passage. A prophecy is what it is concerning the Messiah. The one that was promised. The one person promised to right all of the wrongs. The one person promised to correct all of the problems. And believe me, we have a lot of problems in this world. We've done nothing but made a mess of this world as far as mankind is concerned. And the one person promised to send or to come and to correct all those problems is the focus of this verse. You know, we need to remember as we get ready to go into this passage or in this message this morning, I think it's good to remember that the Old Testament is one unit together. Now, I know there are several books, but God has given it to us as one unit. The promises, the prophecies, the ceremonies that you find in the Old Testament and the law, those were all given for one purpose, to present the Messiah and to prepare people to receive Him. You see, Jesus Christ is the center of the Bible. He's the focus. He's the reason why all of that has come about, so that way people could be redeemed and we could have a Savior. Now, the names found in Isaiah give us a picture of a Savior, I think, who is able to provide what is required. He's a Savior or a Messiah to the nation of Israel. He's a Messiah to the world. And I think most importantly, He is a personal Savior. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You see, Jesus is able to provide our personal needs, whether they're spiritual needs, physical needs, whatever the case may be, He's able to provide those for us. Last week we talked about how wonderful He is. And He is a wonderful God. In a few weeks we'll talk about how He is a mighty God. We'll talk about Him as being everlasting, and we'll talk about Him as being the Prince of Peace. But this morning we're going to see that He is also our Counselor. He's able to give us what we need. I think out of all five names, this is probably the most practical. When I say practical, the one that probably means the most to us. We think of Him being mighty God, wonderful, but this is the one that really hits home as far as living every day. He is our Counselor. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue this morning. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings. As we go forward in this message, please encourage us. Please open our eyes to not only Your Word, also open our heart to Your leading of the Spirit. And I pray that we'll not only see Your Word, but we'll also be able to apply it. And I pray that You'll provide all of our needs this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus, one of His names is Counselor. You know, I guess to begin this, we need to get on the same page as far as what a counselor is. You know, today we have a slew of counselors. As far as counselor, as far as the biblical word and the counselor, it's real basic. It's one that advises or consults for the purpose of guidance. Is what a counselor is. And that's what this word implies and what this word is. Basically, a counselor is one who will provide direction. And as I already said, today we have no shortage of counselors. You can go down the street, you'll find an office for a counselor of some sort. You know, you choose any subject at all and you'll find an expert. I got to put that in quotes because some are experts and some aren't. But you'll find an expert who's ready to offer their advice to you in exchange for money. You know, there's always got to be that exchange. At least that's the way it is in our society almost. But you'll find counselors ready to give their advice. You know, this morning, you look around our country, counseling is big business today. It is big business. And you think about this, this is just my opinion from what I've seen, what I've read. But most of the counseling that's taking place today is fraudulent, I believe. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of counselors will make big promises, but they cannot keep them.
And you'll find that in our counseling world today. A lot of promises of being able to fix this problem, take care of this, and it doesn't come true. But you don't get a refund. You still have to keep paying and paying and paying. Also, many counselors are burdens and they're not blessings. They burden people. They don't bless people. They don't point people to God. They continue to have people come in and come in and come in, and in some cases for an entire lifetime. They burden them. They waste time. They waste money. All so they can just, I guess you say, make you feel good for a little bit. And that's what counseling is. Now this morning, we're going to talk about the counselor that the Bible talks about. You see, God has given us a counselor. He's given us a counselor, and I hope and pray this morning at the end of this message that you'll see that Jesus is not only qualified to be our counselor, but He is more than ready to give you the advice, the counsel, the direction that is best for you, and that you can have a life with peace and contentment, knowing that God is directing your life and that God is in control. I'm going to give you some thoughts on the counselor this morning. First, as the counselor, Jesus needs no counsel. That's what I want to begin with. As the counselor, He needs no counsel. You see, Jesus does not require our advice. He is not in need of our opinions or our great ideas. You see, when we go to God in prayer, we shouldn't go with thoughts thinking we're going to advise Him or direct Him. We should go falling in our knees, seeking His advice and His direction for our life. You see, there's nothing we can share with Jesus that He does not already know. There is nothing we have imagined or invented that He is not aware of. To put it simply, we can't impress Jesus with anything. We can't impress Him with our knowledge. We can't impress Him with our works, with our ideas, our plans, our methods. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2 verse 3, let's turn over there, Colossians 2 verse 3, the Bible tells us there that He has the knowledge of God the Father. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now you think about that. In Him, it says, are hid. In other words, He has them inside. That's who He is. He has the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, those are different. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is the correct use of that information. You know, there's people with knowledge with no wisdom. They have information, but they don't know how to use it. It's there, and they just can't use it properly. Jesus has both. He has the information, but He knows how to use it properly. You know, the Bible makes it very clear, I think, that Jesus knows all things. He's an expert on every subject, and He has an answer for every problem. Now, I want to throw this in there. His answer may not be the answer we expect, or the answer we may want at times, but He does have an answer for every problem. You know, have you ever heard that phrase, a jack of all trades, but master of none? I qualify for that. I can do a lot of things. Doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. Jesus, on the other hand, is master of all trades, just plain and simple. He is a master of all things. There is no subject too deep or a problem too big for our Savior to handle. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, Paul, I think, put that verse in there knowing Jesus as his Savior, knowing the power of Christ and the knowledge of Christ and how God, Jesus Christ, can help in all areas. Another thought on Jesus as far as needing no counsel. Because He needs no counsel, because He knows all things, that means Jesus cannot be fooled. You know, we can deceive people. I've been deceived. Sometimes we can purposely deceive people. Sometimes we can lead them astray on accident. You know, we can deceive men and women, but nobody can deceive Christ. You know, the great counselor, Jesus Christ, sees our actions, but on top of this, He knows our hearts. So we cannot deceive Him. I think that's encouraging because that means that Jesus will guide correctly at all times. You see, He's not going to make a mistake in His counsel. Because He's not going to look upon your life and misunderstand something. That can happen, by the way. You can seek some advice from a friend, from a pastor, or someone else, and they can give you some advice, and not on purpose, but they can accidentally give you a little bit of wrong advice. We're humans. We don't know everything. But Jesus Christ, knowing all things, He's not going to make a mistake in judgment. He's not going to lead you the wrong way because He misunderstood something. You know, poor counsel is often offered just simply due to ignorance. You know, we don't know all things. Someone can go to someone for counsel, they can share what they have, and they can have all the facts and still make an improper decision or give improper advice simply because we don't know the heart and we don't know motives. Also, we can't see the future. I don't know about you, but I can't see the future. I can make plans for tomorrow, But I can't guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow morning. I can't even guarantee what's going to happen in 5 minutes or even a few seconds. God is in control of that. So we can't see the future. So we don't know what's coming ahead as far as giving advice and counsel. Also, I don't know God's plan for your life. Nobody knows God's plan for your life as far as the future. Now, as you walk with the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, that plan will become clear and God will lead your life, of course. And at times, I think He may let you see ahead, and I'm not talking about visions or anything like that, but may give you a desire in your heart to go a direction. Maybe, you know, men are called into the ministry and they may not know where they're going, but they know they're called to preach and they're called to teach and get involved. And so they know that's their future that God has for them. But as far as the direct path, we don't know. God knows that. And so it's easy to give poor advice. You know, I think many counselors have been deceived into giving advice that someone has wanted. Now think about that. You know, we can use words to get what we want. As a pastor, I always keep in the back of my mind that only God knows the heart. Only God knows the motive. And so I direct people to God, direct people to the Bible, because that's where the answers are found. That's where direction will be found. You see, we can give a good advice, and I'm not discouraging advice or encouragement for others when they have problems. We should, if we're able to. But let's point them to God. Let's point them to the great counselor, because Jesus knows all things, so His counsel can be trusted. Secondly, as the counselor, He knows the counsels of God. And I'm going to break this down just a little bit more. As the counselor, He knows the counsels of God. He needs no counsel. That's the first side. He needs no counsel. Secondly, He knows the counsels of God. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want to point something out to you real quick this morning concerning the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said," and notice here the plural, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let us. There's a plural there. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 1, verse 1. Many of you probably know where I'm going or the direction I'm headed with this, but John chapter 1, notice what it says about Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So, and those are capitalized. That's a title. That's a person. The Word is a person. And just skip on down real quick in verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That passage concerns Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ worked with God the Father concerning creation. And He works with God the Father still today. You see, Jesus knows the counsels of God. When He came, or when He was sent to earth, we think about Christmas time, when He was born in the manger, when He came to earth, He came to fulfill the law of God, the law that God the Father had put in place. You know, sometimes I think if we're not careful, we can get confused with that. Some do. Some are confused and they think that Jesus came to give a new law. He didn't come to give a new law. He fulfilled that law. Yes, He has new teachings as far as new direction, and of course we think of grace and mercy, but He fulfilled the law. He didn't break the law in any way. That was part of the problem the Pharisees had. They couldn't nail it down. They couldn't find Him guilty on any breaking of the law because He didn't break the law. While on earth, He lived a perfect life. And I think His life, more than anything else, you know, we think of miracles. We think of great teachings. But I think one characterization of His life that we must never forget is the fact it was a humble life. You see, Jesus Christ submitted Himself to God the Father. You'll find throughout the Gospels, He made it very clear He was there to do the will of the Father. Now think about that for a minute. That's the example for us. As a counselor, He knows the counsels of God, and He was obedient to those counsels. He submitted His will to God the Father. And then that leads us into another thought here as far as Jesus knowing the counsels of God. Jesus not only shares in the work with God the Father, but He also will reveal and has revealed God's will to us. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 14. We're in the book of John chapter 14. And we find here in verse 1 through 6, John 14 verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, he says, you know. Now notice this question by Thomas. I'm glad he asked this question. He says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth know him and have seen him. What we find in this passage is we find Jesus talking to his followers, his disciples, these men who saw him with their own eyes, witnessed his miracles and heard his teachings. And he tells them that he was going to go away, and they're trying to figure out, they're trying to put this together. How do we know the way? How can we go there? You see, I think they're no different than us. They were living by sight, what they could see, struggling to consider faith. And Jesus flat out told them. He says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you believe on me, you're with the Father. You see, he revealed God's will to the world is what he did. He came in the form of the man so we could see God in the flesh. So we could have, an understanding of God. You know, in the Old Testament you find, one of the titles you find for God is I Am. That's it. That's what he told Moses when Moses asked him in the book of Exodus, Who do you say, you know, who shall I say has sent me? And he says, I am. That's it. You know, we find in the book of John that Jesus claimed that title as well. I am. So what we find really in the teachings of the Bible is Jesus is saying, you want to know the God, the Father? Know me. I am. I am God. You know me, you know the will of God the Father. And so we find that he knows the counsels of God. And he came so we might know what God demands and expects. You know, there's nothing worse than being confused. Have you ever taken a job where, and I've had this happen, I've taken a job and the person, I walk in and the training is basically here, shake your hand, get to work. Well, okay, what do you want me to do? There's nothing worse than being confused. But see, Jesus Christ has not left us confused. God has not left us confused. You see, Jesus was sent so we might know what God demands and what God expects. So we might worship God correctly, so we can approach God and not only approach Him, but be accepted by Him. You know, there are a lot of people today that are approaching God, but they're not being accepted because they're approaching in the wrong manner. They're going through a wrong way, whether it's works or their church or another person. They're not approaching through Jesus Christ. But Jesus came so we might know the way to God the Father. You know, that's why Jesus, I think, and we've read it in John chapter 1, verse 1, he was given the title of the Word. And I think he was given that title partly because he is God's Word to this world. He is the Word. He is the message to this world. What is needed in all areas of life, spiritually, physically, and so forth. He's the message the world requires. And so we find that Jesus not only tells us which way to go, but how to get there. And he is the way. So Jesus provides directions, for safe travel through this world of sin. That's the way I'll put it. Safe travel through this world of sin. He provides those directions because he knows the counsels of God. He knows where to go, what to do, how to get there. Thirdly, as the counselor, and this one I think is important, he's qualified to counsel. Here's the third thought. As the counselor, Jesus is qualified to counsel. You know, there are a multitude of unqualified counselors willing to give you advice. Now think about this. We have marriage counselors that have been married and remarried numerous times. I don't know how many times. But they're out there. And people will go to them for marriage counsel and they'll give advice. You pay them, you make an appointment. We also have some Christian counselors that have no biblical knowledge. And that's a shame. But that's happening in churches today. You're having some counselors, and some are pastors. They're no longer pointing people to the Bible. They're no longer reading the Bible. They're going after book studies or whatever else, whatever is becoming trendy. And they're no longer counseling or directing people to God's Word. You know, as far as financial advice, when we seek financial advice, you know, in general, I'll just give you a thought. When you seek financial advice, people usually will find a consultant with knowledge of money and the ability to handle it correctly. Right? When you're seeking financial advice, you try to find someone who knows what they're doing. And here's the reason. You know, the idea is to avoid two things. You want to avoid failures, because you don't want to follow that same path, right? And you want to avoid frauds, because you don't want to have someone take something from you. You know, there's a lot of frauds out there, too, as far as financial advice. Now, they give you advice, but they'll end up with your savings and everything else as well. You see, that's the purpose as far as seeking financial advice. You want to avoid those two. How about spiritually speaking? You know, we want spiritual guidance. We want some direction in life. And I think, sadly, a lot of people are no longer seeking Jesus Christ through God's Word. And so many are not following a good, reasonable method as far as seeking advice. And so what's happening is a slew of counselors have come up that'll say, hey, I'll tell you this, I'll tell you that. And so you can take your pick. You can counsel for anything. You take your pick, you go there, and they'll tell you or give you some opinions. Now, some are good. I'm not coming against all of them. I'm not saying all of them are evil. I'm not putting them all in one category. But as a whole, it's become a burden, I think, instead of a blessing. It's become a problem. Now, let's go back to Jesus Christ. Let's think about this. He's qualified. Jesus is qualified right now to be your counselor. He's more than qualified, I think. You know, the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that He's the only wise God. The only one. There's not many wise gods out there. He's the only wise God. It also calls Him the Ancient of Days. You find that title given to Him in Daniel, the Ancient of Days. In other words, He's from times past. You know, I can tell you this. You're not facing any problem that someone else has probably already dealt with. You know, sometimes I think if we're not careful, we can think we're the only ones that have dealt with this problem. Now, it may come in a different form at a different time, but what you're facing has probably been faced by someone else in the past, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years of the history of mankind. God is aware of that. God knows how to handle our problems. Jesus, being the Ancient of Days, has the experience to counsel us and to guide us and to direct us. The Bible also says that He's the wisdom of God. As we read already, it says there that whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are, we know that. As far as the Spirit, when He was on earth, the Bible said this of Him. It says, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see, the Holy Spirit completely filled Jesus. You're talking about wisdom and knowledge beyond our comprehension. So He, more than anything else, as far as wisdom is concerned, He's qualified. How about understanding? This is where it gets practical, because I hear this all the time, and maybe you have thought this. I hear people all the time say, well, he just doesn't understand. Or so-and-so doesn't understand, or you don't understand. Now, you can say that to me. You know, there are going to be some situations. You can go to a friend, a pastor, and guess what? You can say you don't understand, and you might be right. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't understand everyone's problems or difficulties or trials or hardships. Now, I can try to help out, but some situations I just haven't been in. That's just part of life. Nobody understands everything. Nobody can relate to every problem. But think about Jesus Christ. He can relate to our difficulties. Do you struggle with temptation to sin? Let me ask you that question this morning. Do you struggle with temptation to sin? Think about Jesus. He can relate. I tell you what, He was tempted by the devil out in that wilderness. 40 days after He had fasted out in that wilderness. I think that was probably the greatest spiritual battle that probably ever took place on this earth. You can be sure the devil mounted every bit of strength and power, energy, used all his wisdom and deceit to get Jesus Christ to stumble, to fall, and make a mistake. Now just think about it. What would have happened had Jesus failed? Redemption's out the window. There is no perfect Savior. There is no perfect God. You know the devil understood that. I believe that was the greatest spiritual battle that ever took place, and we find Jesus Christ overcoming that. We find in Matthew 5 that He used the Word of God to withstand that temptation. You know, I don't think any of us will ever be tempted to that limit. There's just no way, because let's put it this way, there's no reason for the devil to pull any of us down to that limit. We're not equal to that. So we know that Jesus can relate to temptation. So if you struggle with temptation, go to Him. He can counsel you through it. Read His Word. How about, do you battle grief due to loss? That's a big one. We can grieve because of loss. How about Jesus? He can relate. You know, the Bible tells us that He endured the cruel death of one of His friends, John the Baptist. Not only a friend, but also a cousin. You know, sometimes I think we overlook those facts. You know, we overlook that he as a Savior, He endured that. He dealt with that. We find that He continued on. So if you struggle with that, take it to Jesus. How about this? Are you dejected because of rejection? Nobody likes to be rejected, whether it's for a job or if it's just in personal life. Nobody likes to be rejected in any way. But think about Jesus. He can relate. He went to that cross all by Himself. Even His followers forsook Him. When it came down to it, they all ran and they fled. He went to the cross by Himself, hung up there all alone, rejected by mankind. So if you deal with that. Go to Christ. Seek His counsel. Seek His strength. He can relate to that. Here's the last one I'll give to you. Now, there's many more, but here's the last one I'll give to you this morning. Has the conduct of others made a mess of your life? You know, there are times in our life where someone else will say something or do something we have no control over, but we have to deal with it. Whether it's at work, someone will do something or say something. Next thing you know, you got to find a new job or do something, and it wasn't anything you chose to do or said or did, but it's just part of living in a world. Sometimes a world of sin, sometimes just a world of people. People are going to make decisions that we have to deal with. Now think about Jesus Christ. He can relate. The Bible tells us that the Jewish leaders hindered His ministry. They twisted His words. They falsely accused Him. Then they sent Him to the Romans who put Him upon the cross. You talk about someone making a mess of your life. Look what they did to His life. A perfect life. You see, Jesus Christ can relate to the problems we have. And that's the point I hope to get across to you right there, is Jesus can relate to the problems that we deal with. Now, we just need to go to Him. Trust Him. Read the counsel we find in His Word. Be obedient and follow His commands. Next, as the counselor, Jesus is willing to counsel. Willing to counsel. You know, it's one thing to have wisdom, and it's another thing to share it. People can have knowledge, they can have wisdom, and they can be selfish and just hold on to it. You know, churches can be like that. Here's a good question. What if Jesus were like some churches? You know, there are some churches that are unfriendly and unwelcoming. People just don't want to go in there. Or if they go in there, they don't want to go back. They're just not friendly. That can happen. I'm so thankful Jesus is friendly and welcome. We can go to Him anytime. How about this? Some churches have the good news of salvation, but they keep it to themselves. They do. They're selfish. They have all the knowledge of God's Word. It's right here. Yet they don't tell anybody else. They don't invite anybody else. They don't share this good news with others. Let's not become like that as a church. I don't believe we are, but let's make sure we never become like that as a church. That we continue to follow the example of our Lord and Savior, and that we are willing to share what God has given to us. Now let's think about Jesus as a counselor. He was willing to counsel. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll point out something to you here. 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we find in verse 30 it says, But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I wanted just to point out the first one that He's made unto us this morning because of the title and the direction we're going, and that's wisdom. Yes, He's made unto us sanctification and redemption, but it says there that He is made unto us wisdom. First off, if you want to be wise, the Bible makes it very clear you need to go to God. What's it say in Psalms? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's still true today. There is a God. He has wisdom. He has knowledge. And if you want wisdom, true wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but the wisdom that only God can give, you have to go to Him. He's the source of it. And the Bible tells us here, and this is speaking of believers, I think, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. I think what we find here is that God has given us a personal counselor. That's His name. God has given us, Jesus Christ, made unto us wisdom. You see, you have someone you can seek advice from. And the best thing is, you don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to say, well, I got to wait till Monday morning. You don't have to call in and hear them say, well, we're booked this week. You got to come back next week. You can go and talk to Jesus Christ right now. Anytime, night or day, He is there, ready to guide and direct and to give wisdom, to impart knowledge that is needed in this world. You see, He's our personal counsel. He takes the wisdom of God and He provides it unto us so we can know right and wrong. We can know, yes, I should do this. No, I shouldn't do this. We can know I need to go this way or I need to go that way. Whatever direction the Lord gives is provided through Jesus Christ. And I think this, more than anything else, was made evident during His earthly ministry. You know, when we think of His ministry, we think of miracles. We think of course, the teachings. But when you think of it as a whole, His entire ministry was a ministry of counseling, giving advice, giving direction to people. And I'm just going to throw some out there to you this morning to think on. As far as His words, even His enemies were impressed. What was it? The officers said, "No, never man spake like this man." They were just impressed with his words. But as far as his ministry, the divine counsel that he offered, I think to the Jewish people it was refreshing. It was. You see, they had been under... Now, they had the law. The law was correct. But through the years, that law, I guess you say, it went from faith to works is what happened. I think anytime man grabs hold of teachings and runs with it, it's going to turn into works. Because we think we have to do something. We think we've got to help God out. It's our selfish, proud nature. And what we find is that when Christ came to earth, that's what it was. Judaism was basically an institution of works. And so the people were lacking faith. There was no teaching of faith, no teaching of trusting God. And so his teachings were different. His counsel was refreshing to these people who had been stuck in that works mode their entire life. I guess you can say it was like cold water on a hot day. It was just refreshing. And you know, I think we can read the Word of God and it can be like that to us today too. That same counsel can be refreshing to us to see the direction God gives. Here's some. This is just a little bit that I have this morning. It's throughout the Gospels, but I'll give you a few. How about this one? He advised, or he counseled all hopeless sinners to repent of their sin. That's the advice he gave. You know, this morning, that's the advice I can give based on God's Word. Not from me, but from God's Word. That's where it begins. If you're in sin, you need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ. That's where it begins. All sinners were advised to repent of their sin. Also, he told the weary and the tired to come unto him for their rest. We can get tired. We can get tired serving the Lord. The Lord knows that. But we can find rest in Him. That's where we find our rest. That's where we find the ability to carry on or to continue. What about the sick and the lame? He encouraged them to come to Him for healing or to endure the problems that He gave. How about the poor in spirit? You know what we find? The poor in spirit were to come to Him for riches. And the naked were to come to Him for clothing. The ignorant were to come to Him for spiritual light and for knowledge. You see, God, Jesus, throughout His ministry, gave advice and counsel. And if you'll notice, it was all directed back to Him. To come to Him. Put their faith in Him. Afterwards, after being saved, you know what He encouraged His followers to do? He continued to give them direction. One was, He told them to separate from sin. You know, we find Jesus saying, sin no more. Making that very clear. Once you're saved, we're to separate from sin. You're to leave your old ways. You're to walk in the new life that God has provided. And you're to live unto the Lord. Also, they were to abide with Him. We find that in John 15. They were to live according to His truths. They were to obey His commands and follow after Him. That's the advice. That's the counsel. You know, sometimes I think if we would just follow that, think about this, we would have no time, first off, to be going running around wondering what to do. This Bible is filled with advice and counsel. If we would just begin digging into it, finding the promises, finding the direction, and begin applying those. You go to the Old Testament, you look at Proverbs. I mean, it's just one after another. It's boom, boom, boom. All this direction from God. And then you get to the Gospels where Jesus continues to provide the teachings. Then, of course, the epistles and so on. We find that Jesus basically commanded them to follow His direction. Also, He encouraged believers to be humble, to bear their reproaches with cheer, and to love one another. Now, those three are difficult sometimes. You know, it's easy to get gloomy when we have some troubles in our life, but we're to continue on with joy because of Jesus Christ. Also, you know what another direction He gave us? We're to pray to His Father in His name, in the name of Jesus. We're not to pray to anybody else. We're not to seek help as far as spiritual advice in prayer to any other person, any other God, any other being, anything. We're to pray to God the Father alone, and we're to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He's the counselor. He's the reason why we can go to God the Father. You see, today, Jesus is not finished with His counsel. The Bible tells us that He continues to offer counsel in heaven. He's at the right hand of God the Father, according to Hebrews. There He stands before God on our behalf, or He goes before God on our behalf and continues to represent us before God the Father. He presents our petitions to God the Father, and He answers all charges brought against us. I know what charges are brought against us. I can tell you now, the devil can find plenty of charges against me. And I am so thankful this morning that if the devil walks before God the Father right now and begins to bring the charges as a lawyer would, a lawyer bringing the charge one after another of why I should not be accepted into heaven, why I do not deserve to stand before God, why I deserve death, why I deserve hell, If that were the case, just these charges alone, I would be doomed. I thank the Lord every day that I have Jesus up there saying, He's fine. He's with me. You see, my sins are covered by the blood of Christ. You're saved here this morning. Your sins are covered by the blood of Christ. You have a mediator. You have a counselor on your behalf standing before. And He's not going to be defeated. He's not going to be overcome with any deception or wily words of the devil. He will stand true for the rest of time. You see, what a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful counselor we have. Jesus will forever provide counsel on our behalf. Next, we have Jesus as the counselor. And this is my last thought here this morning. As the counselor, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, Jesus Christ is needed or required. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11. It says here in verse 14. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. When the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I want to point out that first principle that we find in this proverb. Where no counsel is, the people fall. When no consultation or advice is sought, there's going to be trouble. You know, basically this implies if someone is not seeking counsel from God, if they're not seeking the Lord's direction, then that means they're basing it all upon either what they see, what they believe, or what they feel. Now think about that. I think we've all made decisions based on that. I've made decisions based upon what I can see, thinking it was best. I've made emotional decisions, how I felt at the time. And so if we're not seeking the Lord's counsel, that's what the decision will be made on. And usually it'll be a rash decision. Now sometimes, hey, we may get it right. Once again, it's God's grace in our life. There are going to be times we'll get the decision right, and we should just thank God later. If we look back and say, you know, I should have sought you, but I didn't. Please forgive me. But a lot of times we're going to mess things up. We're going to make a decision that we will live to regret, or we'll look back and say, wish I would have went to the Lord with this. If nothing else, when you go to God, you have the confidence knowing that's God's decision. It's God's direction. And you don't have to live with doubts, wondering if you should have went to God, wondering if this is what God's plan is. You've went to His Word, you've examined His Word, and then you went to Him in prayer asking for advice or direction. And then as He leads, you go by faith, trusting Him to direct. Now, I know this passage in Proverbs is appointed to leaders, pretty much, but it can be applied to all of us. We should all seek the Lord's counsel. I think the problem is it's not in our nature, our sinful nature. We go back to our sinful nature. We're proud. We're arrogant at times. We're selfish. We think we know what's best. And you know, that may be fine when it comes to your friends, but when it comes to God, we don't know what's best. God does. And so, because it's not our nature to seek God, we often seek our selfish desires. You know, I think it's evident from the moment we're born. You walk into a nursery, you see children. Precious children, by the way, but they're selfish children. You know, from the moment we're born, it's all about us, pleasing us. Why? We're hungry. We need to be fed. We need to be changed. I want that. I want this. I mean, from the moment we're born, it's all about us. It's a sinful nature is what the Bible teaches. But you know what? As we get older, a lot of times that doesn't change, does it? If we're honest, it doesn't. It continues to be about us. You know, I think if we were left to ourselves, nobody would seek God. Nobody have an interest in God. We would just seek to please ourselves. And so if left to ourselves, we would make a mess of things. But thank the Lord we have a counselor. Thank the Lord a Son was sent to die on the cross for our sin and provide the knowledge of the way so that way we can not only seek God, but we can find God. We can approach Him and we can have a life with Him. You know, this morning, it's important to seek the Lord. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. You know what that tells us? It tells us that Joshua and the Israelites were deceived by the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites came in the land. Or remained in the land, actually, when the Israelites came. They remained in the land, and they deceived them. Tricked them. And the Bible tells us, Joshua 9:14 says, it was because they asked not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You see, the Israelites made a decision to accept the Gibeonites and to spare them and protect them, all these things. And they didn't ask the counsel of the Lord, and they were deceived. You see, if we choose not to go to the Lord, we can be deceived in this world. Whether it's by people of the world, the teachings of this world, whatever it is, we can be deceived. Here's a second one. You know, King Saul, he asked, he sought counsel, but he made the mistake of seeking the wrong person in his counsel. The Bible tells us at the end of 1 Samuel that he went to a witch. Worldly counsel is what he sought. He was getting ready to go into battle, and instead of seeking the Lord, what did he do? He went to Endor to seek this witch, and he got some counsel all right, but he paid for it with his life. I'm going to read 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 says this. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Can't be any more clearer than that. Saul made the mistake of rejecting God's counsel and seeking the counsel of the world, the counsel of the devil, and the Bible tells us that he paid for it. You see, this morning, you have the choice of seeking the counsel you want to seek. As a pastor, I'm not going to follow you around. It's not my job to tell you where to seek your counsel. It's my job to preach the Word of God and challenge you to act upon it. But your decision is your decision this morning. Your decision throughout the week is your decision. That's between you and God. But I will tell you this, if you choose to seek the worldly counsel, you choose to seek counsel outside of God, then don't be surprised when things don't work out the way you want them to work out, or the way that you hope they would work out as far as the way God promised at times that they would work according to His direction and His will. Now, of course, I'm not going to tell you that you seek the worldly counsel, you're going to be struck dead like Saul. That's not what that verse is teaching. That's a lesson for us to understand that when we seek the counsel of the world, then guess what? We're not seeking God's counsel. And we can expect troubles is what we can expect. You know, this morning, counsel is required. It's required to point us in the right direction. There are a lot of people in this world that are very arrogant. We know the right direction. We don't need the counsel. We don't need God's word. What we need in this world today is a lot of humility is what we need. We need it. Maybe in this auditorium it's needed. I don't know. Maybe you need to humble your heart before God. Put away your pride. Put away your arrogant attitude. Fall before God on your knees, seeking His direction, seeking His purpose in your life, seeking His will, trusting in Him. You see, we need a guide. We need to break down and say, I need a guide. We need a guide to go before us. We need a guide who knows the way. We need a guide who can see the troubles ahead so He can steer us in the correct direction. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He's gone before. He knows the route. And He understands the difficulties. You know, when it comes down to it, He's the perfect counselor. The perfect counselor. I don't know why anyone would seek anybody else but Jesus Christ. If you're a believer. Now, if you're here this morning and you're without Christ, then I understand, I guess, because there is nothing to seek. But if you're a believer here this morning, I don't know why any believer would seek counsel outside of God's Word. Counsel that God has given to us, that shows it. Now, God is there to provide our answers and provide our needs. This morning, what we need to do is seek Him as our counselor and then follow the advice. You know, you can have the best advice in the world given to you. The best. Best advice. And if you fail to apply it, it's worthless. It really is. Someone can tell you exactly what is needed. It's worthless. You know, I know my dad, I think, looks back at... He had three boys. And I know, I don't know about the other two. I can't speak for them, but I can speak for myself. He had a lot of good advice. A lot of advice that I, at the time, thought was, that's old-fashioned. He don't know what he's talking about. Now that I'm older, I look back and say, you know, there's some things I wish I would have listened to him. That's some good advice. There's some decisions I could have made that probably would have ended up better had I followed the advice given by someone who knew what they were talking about. Now, of course, when we talk about any individual, there's no comparison to them and God. But here's a thought I'll leave you with. The advice from God is always perfect, always correct, will never lead us astray. Now, it may lead us an alternate route that we're not expecting, may lead us into some situations that we wonder or we say, well, how God's, but He won't lead us astray. He'll get us where He wants us. Won't lead us astray, won't make a mistake. What we need to do is just follow it, apply it, and live according to the advice that God has given. What a wonderful Savior we have, a counselor. A personal counselor for each of us. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given. As we have this time of invitation, I pray if You've worked in any hearts here this morning, that they'll seek You out, whether it's seeking your salvation as far as forgiveness and repentance or just seeking direction, Lord. Perhaps there's someone here who's seeking direction. They have some questions in their life, they have a situation where they need your help, I pray that they'll seek you out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a few minutes. And this morning, if God has worked in your heart in any way, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. Perhaps there's one here this morning that has come to the understanding, or God has convicted your heart. You're unsure that you're saved. If that's the case, you can come down. We can take the Bible and show you what salvation is. Or if you know what you need to do, you know, a lot of times many know. They just have not repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. If you know what you need to do, get it settled. Put your faith in Christ this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you need a counselor. Maybe you need some advice or some direction. You don't need to make an appointment. Talk with Him right now. Take that concern to the Lord. Ask for His wisdom. Ask for understanding. Ask for guidance. Ask for direction. Ask for strength. Whatever it is needed, ask for it. God knows your situation. God knows your need at this time. I encourage you to seek Him out.